Chapter 17. Preventative Maintenance and Service Procedures. Preventative Maintenance. Purpose: preventative maintenance, known as PM, means periodic service work performed on a vehicle that will help keep it functioning correctly for a long time. All vehicle manufacturers publish a list of service work to be performed on a regular basis. Preventative maintenance is also called routine maintenance because it is usually performed on a set scheduled routine. The interval specified for preventative maintenance is often expressed in time and miles, such as every 6 months, could be longer for many vehicles, every 5,000 to 10,000 miles, or 8,000 to 16,000 kilometers, depending on the vehicle and how it is being operated. Either of the above, whichever occurs first. Items requiring maintenance. The items or systems that require routine maintenance include 1. Engine oil and oil filter replacement. 2. Air and cabin filter replacement. 3. Tire inflation pressure check, inspection, and rotation. 4. Brake and suspension system inspection. 5. Underhood inspection and fluid checks. 6. Under vehicle inspection and fluid checks. 7. Air conditioning system inspection and service. 8. Safety inspection, such as all lights and windshield wiper blades. 9. Routine cleaning of the vehicle, both inside and out. Getting ready for service. Pre-service inspection. Prior to any service work, it is wise to check the vehicle for damage and document the work order if any damage is found. In most dealerships and shops, this is the responsibility of the following personnel: service advisor, or service writer, or shop foreman, or shop owner. The designated person should check the vehicle for the following: 1. Body damage. 2. Missing wheel covers. 3. Glass damage, such as a cracked windshield. 4. Any faults in the paint or trim. 5. Valid license plates. Protect the vehicle. Before most service work is done, protect the inside of the vehicle by using commercially available plastic or paper protective coverings for the following areas: seats, floor, steering wheel. See Figure 17.1. Protect the technician. Before starting routine preventative maintenance on a vehicle, be sure to perform the following. 1. Open the hood, engine compartment cover. Often the struts that hold a hood open are weak or defective. Therefore, before starting to work under the hood, always make sure that the hood is securely held open. 2. Connect an exhaust system hose to the tailpipes before work is started that will involve operating the engine. See Figure 17.2. 3. Wear personal protective equipment, known as PPE, including safety glasses, hearing protection if around air tools or other loud noises, gloves if handling hot objects or chemicals, such as used engine oil. 4. On hybrid vehicles, make sure that the technician has possession of the key transmitter and that the vehicle is not in the ready mode before starting any inspection or service procedures. Refer to Figure 17.1. Before service begins, be sure to cover the seats, floor, and steering wheel with protective coverings. Safety inspection. A safety inspection is recommended to be performed anytime the vehicle is in the shop for service or repair. These inspections should include all of the following. 1. Exterior lights, including A. Headlights, high and low beam. B. Tail lights. C. Turn signals. D. License plate light. E. Parking lights. 2. Horn. 3. Windshield wiper operation. 4. Mirrors. 5. Defroster fan operation. 6. Steering for excessive looseness or leaks. 7. Shock absorbers that allow excessive body sway. 8. Tire condition, tread depth, and proper inflation pressure. 9. Parking brake operation. 10. Exhaust system for excessive noise or leaks. Refer to Figure 17.2. An exhaust system hose should be connected to the tailpipes whenever the engine is being run indoors. Tech tip: do no harm. As stated in the Hippocratic Oath, a doctor agrees first to do no harm to the patient during treatment. Service technicians should also try to do no harm to the vehicle while it is being serviced. Always ask, "Am I going to do any harm if I do this?" before you do it. Windshield wiper and washer fluid service. Windshield wipers. Windshield wiper blades are constructed of rubber and tend to become brittle due to age. Wiper blades should be cleaned whenever the vehicle is cleaned, using water and a soft cloth. Wiper blade or wiper blade insert replacement includes the following steps. Turn the ignition switch to on, or run. Turn the wiper switch on and operate the wipers. When the wipers are located in an easy-to-reach location, turn the ignition switch off. The wipers should stop. Remove the insert or the entire blade as per service information and/or the instructions on the replacement windshield wiper blade package. After double-checking that the wiper is securely attached, turn the ignition switch on, run. Turn the wiper switch off and allow the wipers to reach the park position. Check for proper operation. Question mark see Figure 17.3. Figure 17.3 installing a wiper blade insert into a wiper arm. Refer to Figure 17.4. Figure A. The windshield wiper fluid reservoir cap is usually labeled with a symbol showing a windshield washer. Figure B. Use only the recommended washer fluid. Never use antifreeze in the windshield washer reservoir. Windshield washer fluid. Windshield washer fluid level should be checked regularly and refilled as necessary. Use only the fluid that is recommended for use in vehicle windshield washer systems. See Figure 17.4. Refer to Figure 17.5. A cabin filter can be accessed either through the glove compartment or under the hood on most vehicles. Most windshield washer fluid looks like blue water. It is actually water with an alcohol known as methanol, additive to prevent freezing and to help clean the windshield by dissolving bugs. Be careful not to spill any washer fluid when filling the reservoir because the corrosiveness can harm wiring and electronic components. Caution: some mixed fluids are for summer use only and do not contain antifreeze protection. Read the label carefully. Warning: windshield washer fluid usually contains methanol, a poisonous chemical that can cause blindness if ingested. Cabin filter replacement. A cabin filter is used in the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning (HVAC) system to filter the outside air drawn into the passenger compartment. Some filters contain activated charcoal to help eliminate odors. The cabin air filter should be replaced often, every year or every 12,000 miles, or 19,000 kilometers. The cabin air filter can be accessed from under the hood at the cowl, or bulkhead, or under the dash, usually behind the glove, or instrument panel, compartment. Check service information for the exact location and servicing procedures for the vehicle being serviced. See Figure 17.5. Air filter inspection and replacement. An air filter filters dirt from the air before it enters the intake system of the engine. The air filter should be replaced according to vehicle manufacturer's recommendations. Over time, the filter will start to get clogged and decrease the engine's efficiency. Many vehicle manufacturers recommend replacing the air filter every 30,000 miles, or 50,000 kilometers, or more frequently under dusty conditions. Many service technicians recommend replacing the air filter every year. Refer to Figure 17.6. Figure A, a typical dirty air filter. Figure B, always check the inlet passage leading to the air filter for debris that can reduce airflow to the engine. Brake fluid inspection. Brake fluid level. Brake fluid is used to transmit the force of the driver's foot on the brake pedal, called the service brake, to each individual wheel brake. The brake fluid should be checked at the same time the engine oil is changed, or every 6 months, whichever occurs first. It is normal for the brake fluid level to drop as the disc brake pads wear. Therefore, when the fluid level is low, check for two possible causes. Cause 1, normal disc brake pad wear, inspect the brakes if the fluid level is low. Cause 2, a leak somewhere in the hydraulic brake system. Carefully inspect the entire brake system for leaks if the brakes are not worn and the brake fluid level is low. There are two types of brake master cylinders. Transparent reservoir, this type allows viewing of the brake fluid, and hydraulic clutch master cylinder, if so equipped, without having to remove the cover of the reservoir. The proper level should be between the minimum level indicated and the maximum level indicated on the clear plastic reservoir. Metal or non-transparent plastic reservoir, this type of reservoir, used on older vehicles, requires that the cover be removed to check the level of the brake fluid. The proper level of brake fluid should be 0.25 of an inch or 6 mm from the top. See Figure 17.7. Refer to Figure 17.7, a master cylinder with a transparent reservoir. The brake fluid level should be between the maximum and the minimum levels as marked on the reservoir. Caution: do not overfill a brake master cylinder. The brake fluid gets hotter as the brakes are used and there must be room in the master cylinder reservoir for the brake fluid to expand. Brake fluid types, Brake fluid is made from a combination of various types of glycol, a non-petroleum-based fluid. Brake fluid is a polyalkylene glycol ether mixture, called polyglycol for short. All polyglycol brake fluid is clear to amber in color. Caution: DOT3 brake fluid is a very strong solvent and can remove paint. Care is required when working with this type brake fluid to avoid contact with the vehicle's painted surfaces. It also takes the color out of leather shoes or upholstery. All automotive brake fluid must meet Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standard 116. The Society of Automotive Engineers known as SAE and the Department of Transportation known as DOT have established brake fluid specification standards. .3 The DOT3 brake fluid is most often used. It absorbs moisture and, according to SAE, can absorb 2% of its volume in water per year. Moisture is absorbed by the brake fluid through microscopic seams in the brake system and around seals. Over time, the water will corrode the system and thicken the brake fluid. Moisture can cause a spongy brake pedal because the increased concentration of water within the fluid boils at lower temperatures and can result in vapor lock. DOT3 must be used from a sealed, capped, container. If allowed to remain open for any length of time, DOT3 will absorb moisture from the surrounding air. See Figure 17.8. DOT4, the DOT4 brake fluid is formulated for use by all vehicles, imported or domestic. It is commonly called low moisture absorption known as LMA, because it does not absorb water as fast as DOT3. It is still affected by moisture, however, and should be used only from a sealed container. The cost of DOT4 is approximately double the cost of DOT3. DOT5, the DOT5 type is commonly called silicone brake fluid. It is made from polydimethyl siloxanes. Because it does not absorb water, it is called non-hygroscopic. DOT5 brake fluid does not mix with and should not be used with DOT3 or DOT4 brake fluid. Refer to Figure 17.8, DOT3 brake fluid. Always use fluid from a sealed container because brake fluid absorbs moisture from the air. Note: even though DOT5 does not normally absorb water, it is still tested using standardized SAE procedures in a humidity chamber. After a fixed amount of time, the brake fluid is measured for boiling point. Because it has had a chance to absorb moisture, the boiling point after this sequence is called the minimum wet boiling point. DOT5 brake fluid is purple, or violet, to distinguish it from DOT3 or DOT4 brake fluid. .5.1 The DOT5.1 brake fluid is a non-silicon-based polyglycol fluid that is clear to amber in color. This severe-duty fluid has a boiling point of over 500 degrees Fahrenheit, 260 degrees Celsius, equal to the boiling point of silicon-based DOT5 fluid. Unlike DOT5, the DOT5.1 fluid can be mixed with either DOT3 or DOT4 according to the brake fluid manufacturer's recommendations. Caution: some vehicle manufacturers, such as Chrysler, do not recommend the use of, or the mixing of, other types of polyglycol brake fluid, and specify the use of DOT3 brake fluid only. Always follow the vehicle manufacturer's recommendation. Brake fluid testing. Visual inspection. Check the color of the brake fluid. It should be clear or almost clear. If it is dark brown or black, it should be replaced. Not absorb water, it is called non-hygroscopic. DOT5 brake fluid does not mix with and should not be used with DOT3 or DOT4 brake fluid. Test strips. A quick and easy way to check the condition of the brake fluid is to use test strips. Always follow the instructions that come with the test strips for accurate results. Figure 17.9. Brake fluid test strips are a convenient and easy to use method to determine if the brake fluid needs to be replaced. Frequently asked question: what is used in the clutch master cylinder? Vehicles equipped with a manual transmission often use a hydraulically operated clutch. This type of clutch operation uses a master cylinder and a slave cylinder near the clutch assembly. When the driver depresses the clutch pedal, the hydraulic pressure created in the master cylinder is transferred to the slave cylinder, which moves and actuates the clutch. Most hydraulic clutches use DOT3 brake fluid. Check to see that the level is between the maximum and the minimum levels as shown by lines on the reservoir. If low, check for a leak in the system, as it is not normal for brake fluid level to decrease over time. Boiling point. The boiling point of brake fluid can be tested using a handheld tester. Follow the instructions that come with the tester. Caution: if any mineral oil, such as engine oil, automatic transmission fluid known as ATF, or power steering fluid gets into the brake fluid, The rubber seals will swell and cause damage to the entire braking system. Every part that includes a rubber seal will require replacement. Engine oil inspection. Oil level. The oil level should be checked when the vehicle is parked on level ground and after the engine has been off for at least several minutes. The oil level indicator, commonly called a dipstick, is clearly marked and in a convenient location. See Figure 17.10. To check the oil, remove the dipstick, wipe off the oil, and reinsert it all the way down. Once again, remove the dipstick and check where the oil level touches the indicator. The add mark is usually at the 1 quart low point. See Figure 17.11. Refer to Figure 17.10, a typical oil level indicator, or dipstick. Figure 17.11, the oil level should be between the max and the min marks when the vehicle is on level ground and the oil has had time to drain into the oil pan. Frequently asked question. Can I switch from synthetic oil to regular oil? Yes. All oil is miscible, meaning that it can be readily mixed. Therefore, synthetic oil can be used one time and then regular mineral oil used the next time. Most important, however, is that the oil be changed at intervals that are never longer than specified by the vehicle manufacturer. If oil needs to be added, use the specified oil and add to the engine through the oil fill opening, not through the dipstick hole as is done with automatic transmission fluid. Engine oil change intervals. Most automotive experts recommend that the engine oil be replaced and a new oil filter installed every 5,000 to 7,500 miles, or 8,000 to 12,000 kilometers, or every 6 months, whichever occurs first. Most vehicles since the early 2000s have used an oil life monitor system to notify the driver when the engine oil should be changed. The oil life monitor will light a dash lamp when the oil needs to be changed. Most vehicle manufacturers recommend that the oil be changed according to a normal or severe use schedule. See Chart 17.1. Most vehicles are driven under severe conditions if all of the factors above are considered. Always follow the vehicle manufacturer's recommended oil change intervals. See Chapter 26 for details on oils and oil change procedure. Refer to Chart 17.1. The difference between normal and severe use is specified by many vehicle manufacturers. Frequently asked question. How does an oil life monitor work? While some vehicle manufacturers, such as Mercedes, use a sensor to measure oil temperature and acidity, most vehicle oil change monitors function three ways. 1. Vehicle mileage. This is the most commonly used vehicle service monitoring system. When a certain number of miles has occurred since it was reset, the control, usually the powertrain control module or PCM, will turn on a dash light that states maintenance is required. 2. Oil life computer program. A computer program called an algorithm, or a series of mathematical calculations, is used to determine the life of the engine oil. For example, when the oil change warning light is reset, the oil life is reset to 100%. Then the PCM tracks the number of engine starts, the outside temperature, when the engine was started, based on intake air temperature, or IAT sensor input, and the number of miles traveled. Because long drives are easier on engine oil than short stop and go driving, the PCM deducts numbers faster during this condition. 3. Oil condition sensor. This sensor measures the dielectric properties of the oil, which changes when exposed to water, soot, ash, and glycol in the oil. A computer program takes the information from the sensor about the changes of the dielectric property of the oil to determine when to light the change oil lamp. Figure 17.12. Visually check the level and color of coolant in the coolant recovery or surge tank. Frequently asked question. What is the Magnuson-Moss Act? The Magnuson-Moss Act, passed into law in 1975, allows the use of non-original equipment replacement parts during the service or repair of a vehicle without losing the factory warranty. This means that any oil or air filter, spark plug, or other service part can be used, unless the vehicle manufacturer furnishes these parts for free during the warranty period. The vehicle manufacturer cannot deny paying a warranty claim for a fault unless the replacement part is proved to be the cause of the condition needed to be covered by the warranty. Therefore, it is up to the business owner, service manager, or technician to determine if the replacement part is of good quality. While this is very difficult or impossible, unless defects are obviously visible, the best solution is to use the original equipment manufacturer 9 as OEM parts or service parts from a well-known company. Cooling system inspection. Steps involved. Normal maintenance involves an occasional check of the following items. 1. Coolant level in the coolant recovery tank or in the surge tank. See Figure 17.12. 2. The front of the radiator should be carefully inspected and cleaned of bugs, dirt, or mud that can often restrict airflow. 3. Maintenance should also include a visual inspection for signs of coolant system leaks and for the condition of the coolant hoses and accessory drive belts. Coolant testing. Visual inspection. Coolant should be clean and close to the color when it was new. If dark or muddy, it should be replaced. Milky colored coolant is an indication of oil in the system that might be caused by a defective engine gasket. Test strips. Coolant test strips are available to test the condition of the coolant. Check to see that the test strips are being used on the specified type of coolant, as some will work only on the old green inorganic additive technology known as IAT coolant. Boiling and freezing points. Refractometer and hydrometer. A hydrometer can be used to check the freezing and boiling temperatures of the coolant. A refractometer can be used to check the freezing temperature of the coolant. Proper reading. A proper 50-50 mix of antifreeze and water should result in a freezing temperature of 34 degrees Fahrenheit or 37 degrees Celsius. If the freezing temperature is higher than 34 degrees Fahrenheit, such as 20 degrees Fahrenheit, there is too much water in the coolant. If the freezing temperature is lower than 34 degrees Fahrenheit, such as 46 degrees Fahrenheit, there is too much antifreeze in the coolant. See Figure 17.13. Note: many hybrid electric vehicles use two separate cooling systems, one for the internal combustion engine known as ICE, and the other to cool the electronics. Check service information for the exact procedures to follow. See Chapter 20 for more details on coolant and coolant testing. Antifreeze and coolant disposal. Used coolant drained from vehicles can usually be disposed of according to federal, state, and local laws. Check with recycling companies authorized by local or state government for the exact method recommended for disposal in your area. See Figure 17.14. Refer to Figure 17.13. Figure A. A refractometer is used to measure the freezing point of coolant. A drop of coolant is added to a viewing screen, the lid is closed, and then held up to the light to view the display on the thule. Figure B. The use of test strips is a convenient and cost-effective method to check coolant condition and freezing temperature. Refer to Figure 17.14. Used coolant should be stored in a leak-proof container until it can be recycled or disposed of according to local, state, or federal laws. Note that the storage barrel is placed inside another container to catch any coolant that may spill out of the inside container. Figure 17.15. Using a hand-operated pressure tester. Do not exceed the pressure rating of the radiator cap when pressurizing the system. This vehicle had a leaking upper radiator hose that only leaked when the system was pressurized. Radiator and heater hoses. Upper and lower radiator hoses must be pliable, yet not soft. The lower radiator hose will be reinforced or contain an inner spring to prevent the hose from being sucked closed, since the lower hose is attached to the suction side of the water pump. The bypass hose, if equipped, and heater hoses come in the following inside diameter sizes: 1/2 inch, 5/8 inch, 3/4 inch. The heater hoses connect the engine cooling system to the heater core. A heater core looks like a small radiator and is located inside the vehicle. All automotive hose is constructed of rubber with reinforcing fabric weaving for strength. Sections of the coolant lines can be made from nylon reinforced plastic or metal. All hoses should be inspected for leaks, especially near hose clamps, cracks, swollen areas indicating possible broken reinforcing material, and excessively brittle, soft, and swollen sections. Using a hand-operated pressure pump attached to the radiator opening is an excellent way to check for leaks. See Figure 17.15. Emission-related hoses. Rubber hoses are also used in the following locations and for the following purposes: positive crankcase ventilation, known as PCV, system hose. This type of hose has engine vacuum and requires specially designed hose if replacing the hose used for the PCV system. Exhaust gas recirculation, known as EGR, system hose. This type of hose has engine vacuum and requires specially designed hose if replacing the hose used for the EGR system. Secondary air injection, known as SAI, system hoses. This type of hose has engine vacuum or low pressure air and requires specially designed hose if replacing the hose used for the SAS system. Hose clamps. There are several types of hose clamps used depending on the make, model, and year of vehicle. The three basic types are as follows: 1. Worm drive, also called a screw band type. 2. Banded type clamp. 3. Wire clamp, or spring type. See Figure 17.16. Refer to Figure 17-16. Hose clamps come in a variety of shapes and designs. Tech tip: the cut and peel trick. It is often difficult to remove a radiator or heater hose from the fittings on the radiator or heater core. To avoid possible damage to expensive radiator or heater cores, do not pull or twist the hose to remove it. Simply use a utility knife and slit the hose lengthwise and then use your finger to peel the hose off of the radiator or heater core. Although this procedure will not work if the hose is to be reused, it is a real time saver when it comes to replacing old hoses. Sometimes using an angled pick that is dulled at the end will do a good job breaking the hose free. Automatic transmission fluid check. Steps involved: the automatic transmission fluid, known as ATF, is another important fluid that should be checked regularly. Most automatic transmission fluid levels should be checked under the following conditions. The vehicle should be parked on a level surface. The transmission fluid should be at normal operating temperature. This may require the vehicle to be driven several miles before the level is checked. The engine should be running with the transmission in neutral or park as specified by the vehicle manufacturer. Note: Honda and Acura manufacturers usually specify that the transmission fluid be checked with the engine off. The recommended procedure is usually stamped on the transmission dipstick or written in the owner's manual and/or service manual. Refer to Figure 17-17, a typical automatic transmission dipstick. To check the automatic transmission fluid, perform the following steps. Step 1. Start the engine and move the gear selector to all gear positions and return to park or neutral as specified by the vehicle manufacturer. Step 2. Remove the transmission and transaxle dipstick, or fluid level indicator, and wipe it off using a clean cloth. Step 3. Reinsert the dipstick until fully seated. Remove the dipstick again and note the level. See Figure 17-17. Note: some transmissions or transaxles do not use a dipstick. Check service information for the exact procedure to follow to check the fluid level. Some vehicles require the use of a scan tool to check the level of the fluid. Do not overfill any automatic transmission and transaxle. Even if just half quart too much were added by mistake, for example, adding 1 quart when the fluid was at the add line instead of the correct amount of half quart, could cause the fluid to foam. Foaming of the ATF is caused by the moving parts inside the transmission and transaxle, which stir up the fluid and introduce air into it. This foamy fluid cannot adequately lubricate or operate the hydraulic clutches that make the unit function correctly. Note: the AV mark on most automatic transmission/transaxle dipsticks means that half quart, half liter, of automatic transmission fluid needs to be added. Smell the ATF on the dipstick. If it seems burned or rancid, further service of the automatic transmission/transaxle will be necessary. Look at the color of the fluid. It should be red or light brown. A dark brown or black color indicates severe oxidation, usually caused by too high an operating temperature. Further service and diagnosis of the automatic transmission and transaxle will be required. Note: Chrysler warns that color and smell should not be used to determine the condition of ATF plus 4 used in most Chrysler-built vehicles since the 2000 model year. The dyes and additives can change during normal use and it is not an indication of fluid contamination. This is true for most highly friction-modified ATF. Always follow the vehicle manufacturer's recommendation. Types of automatic transmission fluid. Automatic transmission fluid is high-quality oil that has additives that resist oxidation, inhibit rust formation, and allow the fluid to flow easily at all temperatures. The automatic transmission fluid is dyed red for identification. Various vehicle manufacturers recommend a particular type of ATF based mainly on its friction characteristics. Friction is needed between the bands, plates, and clutches of an automatic transmission and transaxle. Figure 17-18. Most vehicles use a combination filler cap and level indicator, dipstick, that shows the level of power steering fluid in the reservoir. Tech tip: the paper towel test. New ATF will penetrate a paper towel better than used oxidized ATF. To compare old fluid with new, place 3 drops of new fluid on a paper towel and 3 drops of used ATF on the paper towel about 3 inches from the first sample. Wait for 30 minutes. The new ATF will have expanded, penetrated through the paper towel, much farther than the old, oxidized fluid. This test can be used to convince a customer that the ATF should be changed according to the vehicle manufacturer's recommended interval, even though, to the naked eye, the fluid looks okay. Power steering fluid. Checking power steering fluid. Check power steering fluid level with the engine off. The cap for the power steering reservoir is marked with an icon of a steering wheel or the words power steering. Remove the cap by twisting it counterclockwise and use the level indicator as part of the cap to determine the level. Often the level marks are for cold and hot fluid. If too low, check for leaks, especially at the high pressure lines and fittings. Add the specified fluid to the correct level. If too high, use a fluid siphon pump or a turkey baster and remove the excess fluid until the level is correct. Types of power steering fluid. The correct power steering fluid is critical to the operation and service life of the power steering system. The exact power steering fluid to use varies by vehicle manufacturer, and sometimes between models made by the same vehicle manufacturer, because of differences among various steering component manufacturers. Always check service information for the specified fluid to use. See Figure 17-18. Refer to Figure 17-19. A special tool is useful when installing a new accessory drive belt. The long-handled wrench fits in a hole of the belt tensioner. The types of power steering fluid can include automatic transmission fluid, check for the exact type. Power steering fluid. Unique fluid that is specially designed for the vehicle. Caution, do not use fluid that is labeled for all vehicles as this type may not be compatible with the seals used in the power steering system or provide the specified friction additives needed to provide the proper steering feel to the driver. Accessory drive belt inspection. Types of belts, older V belts, so named because of their shape, are 34 degrees at the V. The pulley they ride through is generally 36 degrees. This 2-degree difference results in a wedging action and makes power transmission possible, but it is also the reason why V belts must be closely inspected. It is generally recommended that all belts, including the serpentine, or poly V, belts be replaced every 4 to 7 years. When a belt that turns the water pump breaks, the engine could rapidly overheat, causing serious engine damage, and if one belt breaks, it often causes the other belts to become tangled, causing them to break. See Figures 17-19 and 17-20. Belt tension measurement. There are four ways that vehicle manufacturers specify that the belt tension is within factory specifications. 1. Belt tension gauge. A belt tension gauge is needed to achieve the specified belt tension. Install the belt and operate the engine with all of the accessories turned on to run in the belt for at least 5 minutes. Adjust the tension of the accessory drive belt to factory specifications or use the table below for an example of the proper tension based on the size of the belt. See Figure 17-21. Refer to Figure 17-20, a typical worn serpentine accessory drive belt. Newer belts made from ethylene propylene diene monomer known as EPDM do not crack like older belts that were made from neoprene rubber. Figure 17-21, if the wear gauge can be moved side to side, then the belt is worn and should be replaced. It is almost impossible to check a serpentine belt made from EPDM for wear visually without using a wear gauge. Refer to Serpentine Belt Chart page 150. Replace any serpentine belt that has more than 3 cracks in any one rib that appears in a 3-inch span. 2. Marks on a tensioner. Many tensioners have marks that indicate the normal operating tension range for the accessory drive belt. Check service information for the preferred location of the tensioner mark. See Figure 17-22. Refer to Figure 17-22, a spring-loaded accessory drive belt tensioner. Tech tip. The water spray trick. Lower than normal alternator output could be the result of a loose or slipping drive belt. All belts, V and serpentine multi-groove, use an interference angle between the angle of the Vs of the belt and the angle of the Vs on the pulley. Over time, this interference angle is worn off the edges of the V of the belt. As a result, the belt may start to slip and make a squealing sound, even if tensioned properly. A fast method to determine if the noise is from the belt is to spray water from a squirt bottle at the belt with the engine running. If the belt noise stops, but returns when the belt dries out, the cause is often called chirp and is due to pulley misalignment. If the belt noise gets louder when sprayed with water, the cause is often called squeal and is caused by low belt tension. 3. Torque wrench reading. Some vehicle manufacturers specify that a beam-type torque wrench be used to determine the torque needed to rotate the tensioner. If the torque reading is below specifications, the tensioner must be replaced. 4. Deflection. Depress the belt between the two pulleys that are the farthest apart. The flex or deflection should be 0.5 of an inch. Belt routing guide. Always check the belt routing diagram located on the underhood sticker or in service information for the proper routing when replacing an accessory drive belt. The belt routing can vary depending on engine size and accessories. Tire and wheel service. Inflation pressure. Tire pressure should be checked when the tires are cold. As a vehicle is driven, The flexing of the tire and friction between the tire and the road causes an increase in temperature. As the tire heats up, the air inside the tire also increases in temperature. The increased temperature of the air increases the air pressure inside the tire. The air pressure typically increases in pressure 4 to 6 pounds per inch, too, known as PSI, after the vehicle has been driven several miles. If air is then removed from the hot tire, the tire would be underinflated. The tire pressure specified is for a tire that has not been driven and is therefore cold, so the air pressure should be checked before the vehicle has been driven more than 2 miles or 3 kilometers. Refer to Figure 17.23. The specified tire inflation pressure is printed on a placard on the driver's door or doorpost. This information may also be located in the glove compartment, the owner's manual, and in service information. Note: tire pressure changes according to air temperature about 1 psi per 10 degrees Fahrenheit. Therefore, during a change of season, the tire pressure has to be adjusted. For example, when the summer temperature of 80 degrees Fahrenheit changes to 40 degrees Fahrenheit in the fall, the tire pressure will drop about 4 psi. How to check tire pressure? Use a good quality tire pressure gauge and push it against the tire valve stem after removing the cap. Be sure no air escapes when the pressure gauge is used, as this will cause an inaccurate reading. Compare the pressure reading with the specified tire pressure. The specified pressure is located on a placard attached to the driver's door or doorpost or in the glove compartment. See Figure 17.23. Caution: do not inflate tires to the maximum rating on the tire sidewall. Even though this pressure represents the maximum tire pressure, inflating the tires to this pressure usually results in a very harsh ride and often unacceptable handling. Specified tire pressure: the specified tire inflation pressure should always be used when checking or adjusting tire pressure. Tire pressure should be checked and adjusted, if necessary, after a tire rotation has been completed, because some vehicles require different inflation pressure for front and rear tires. Therefore, when the tires are rotated, the front and rear tire inflation pressure may need to be adjusted. The spare tire should also be checked at each oil change interval. Check service information for the exact inflation pressure. The recommendation sometimes includes a statement about tire pressures to use if operating under all highway driving conditions or operating the vehicle in a fully loaded condition. Specifications for these conditions commonly include increasing the pressure, usually about 4 to 6 psi, 27 to 41 kPa. See Figure 17.24. Tire inspection: all tires should be carefully inspected for faults in the tire itself or for signs that something may be wrong with the steering or suspension systems of the vehicle. The tires should be checked for the following conditions. Tread depth: 2/32 of an inch is the standard minimum allowable tread depth in most states. Unequal wear: cuts in the tread or sidewall, bulges or uneven sidewalls. Check the spare tire for proper inflation pressure as well as condition of the tire and wheel. Figure 17.24. An electronic tire pressure gauge is usually more accurate than a mechanical pencil type gauge and more likely to provide consistent pressure readings. Do not allow air to escape when testing or the reading will not be accurate. Tech tip: 2 quick checks. If the vehicle is hoisted on a frame contact lift, perform 2 quick checks. 1. Spin each tire to check that the brakes are not dragging. You should be able to turn all 4 wheels by hand if the parking brake is off and the transmission is in neutral. 2. When spinning the tire, look over the top of the tire to check if it is round. An improperly mounted tire or a tire that is out of round due to a fault in the tire can be detected by watching for the outside of the tire to move up and down as it is being rotated. Tire rotation: to assure long life and even tire wear, it is important to rotate each tire to another location. Some rear wheel drive vehicles, for example, may show premature tire wear on the front tires. The wear usually starts on the outer tread row and usually appears as a front to back, or high and low, wear pattern on individual tread blocks. These blocks of tread rubber are deformed during cornering, stopping, and turning, which can cause tire noise and/or tire roughness. While some shoulder wear on front tires is normal, it can be reduced by proper inflation, alignment, and tire rotation. Refer to Figure 17.25. The method most often recommended is the modified X method. Using this method, each tire eventually is used at each of the 4 wheel locations. An easy way to remember the sequence, whether front wheel drive or rear wheel drive, is drive wheels straight, cross the non-drive wheels. Note: radial tires can cause a radial pull due to their construction. If the wheel alignment is correct, attempt to correct a pull by rotating the tires front to rear or, if necessary, side to side. Hint: to help remember when to rotate the tires, Just remember that it should be done at every other oil change. Most manufacturers recommend changing the engine oil every 5,000 miles, or 8,000 kilometers, or every 6 months, and recommend tire rotation every 10,000 miles, or 16,000 kilometers, or every year. Wheel mounting torque. There are two commonly used methods to ensure proper tire lug nut torque. Torque wrench. Using a torque wrench is the preferred method to tighten the wheel lug nuts. Torque sticks. These long sticks are calibrated to transmit a limited amount of torque to the lug nut when used according to factory instructions. Make certain that the wheel studs are clean and dry and torqued to manufacturer's specifications. Most vehicles specify a tightening torque of between 80 and 100 foot-pounds, or 108 and 136 newton-meters. Refer to Figure 1726, Figure A. Using a torque wrench is the preferred method to use when installing wheels. Check service information for the specified torque, Figure B, a color-coded assortment of torque sticks. Tech tip. Check for wheel lock key. Many vehicles have wheel locks that require a special key to remove. The wise technician should always ask the customer or service rider about wheel locks before pulling the vehicle into the shop or before the vehicle is hoisted. Caution: most manufacturers warn that the wheel studs should not be oiled or lubricated with grease because this can cause the wheel lug nuts to loosen while driving. Always tighten lug nuts gradually, in the proper sequence: tighten one nut, skip one, and tighten the next nut, to prevent warping the brake drums or rotors, or bending a wheel. See Figure 1726. Note: anytime you install a brand new set of aluminum wheels, retorque the wheels after the first 25 miles. The soft aluminum often compresses slightly, loosening the torque on the wheels. Refer to Figure 1727. A hand-operated grease gun is being used to lubricate the steering component through a grease fitting. Frequently asked question: when is the second click heard? A student service technician was observed applying a lot of force to a clicker-type torque wrench attached to a wheel lug nut. When the instructor asked what he was doing, the student replied that he was turning the lug nut tighter until he heard a second click from the torque wrench. This was confusing to the instructor until the student explained that he had heard a second click of the torque wrench during the demonstration. The instructor at once realized that the student had heard a click when the proper torque was achieved, plus another click when the force on the torque wrench was released. No harm occurred to the vehicle because all of the lug nuts were reinstalled and properly torqued. The instructor learned that a more complete explanation for the use of click-type torque wrenches was needed. Chassis lubrication. Grease fittings. Chassis lubrication refers to the greasing of parts that rub against each other or installing grease into a pivot, or ball joints, through a grease fitting. Grease fittings are also called Zerk fittings, named for Oscar U. Zerk, or Alamite fittings, named for the manufacturer of early grease fittings. These fittings contain a one-way check valve that prevents the grease from escaping. Grease fittings are used on steering components, such as tie rod ends, and in the suspension ball joints, which require lubrication to prevent wear and noise caused by the action of a ball rotating within a joint during vehicle operation. See Figure 1727. The procedure for lubricating a grease fitting includes the following steps. Step 1. Wipe off the fitting with a shop cloth. Step 2. Make sure the grease gun coupler is fully seated on the fitting. Step 3. Apply grease only until the dust boot swells. Step 4. If the fitting will not accept grease, replace it with a new one and retry. Step 5. Remove the grease gun and wipe any spilled grease from the fitting. Refer to Figure 1728. Most vehicle manufacturers recommend the use of grease meeting the NLGI No. 2 and GC for wheel bearings and pound for chassis lubrication. Many greases have both designations, and therefore, can be used for wheel bearings or chassis lubrication. Tech tip. Watch out for vents that look like grease fittings. Watch for what looks like a grease or Zerk fitting but is somewhat smaller, as this may be a vent, such as found on a late model Dodge Caravan on the ball joints. If the grease gun does not fit on it, do not be tempted to remove and replace with a grease fitting. Caution: if too much grease is forced into a sealed grease boot, the boot itself may rupture, requiring the entire joint to be replaced. Types of grease. Vehicle manufacturers specify the type and consistency of grease for each application. The technician should know what these specifications mean. Grease is oil with a thickening agent added to allow it to be installed in places where a liquid lubricant would not stay. Greases are named for their thickening agent, such as aluminum, barium, calcium, lithium, or sodium. Caution: grease types are often not compatible with each other. The American Society for Testing Materials, known as ASTM, specifies the consistency of grease using a penetration test. The National Lubricating Grease Institute, known as NLGI, uses the penetration test as a guide to assign the grease a number. Low numbers are very fluid and higher numbers are more firm or hard. Most vehicle manufacturers specify NLGI number 2 for wheel bearing and chassis lubrication. See Figure 1728. NLGI also specifies grease by its use, as follows. The GC designation is acceptable for wheel bearings. The LB designation is acceptable for chassis lubrication. Many greases are labeled with both GC and pound and are, therefore, acceptable for both wheel bearings and chassis use, such as in lubricating ball joints and tire odd ends. Refer to Figure 1729. This differential assembly has been leaking fluid. The root cause should be determined and the unit filled to the proper level using the specified lubricant, to help prevent early failure and an expensive repair later. Differential fluid check. Procedure for checking rear-wheel drive vehicles: use a differential in the rear of the vehicle to change the direction of power flow from the engine to the rear wheels. The differential also provides a gear reduction to increase engine torque applied to the drive wheels. Four-wheel drive vehicles also use a differential at the front of the vehicle in addition to the differential in the rear. To check the differential fluid level and condition, perform the following steps. Step 1, hoist the vehicle safely. Step 2, visually check for any signs of leakage. See Figure 1729. Step 3, remove the inspection plug from the side or rear cover of the differential assembly. Step 4, insert your small finger into the hole in the housing and then remove your finger. If the differential fluid is on your finger, then the fluid level is okay. Rub the fluid between your fingers. If the fluid is not gritty feeling, reinstall the inspection plug. If the fluid is gritty feeling, further service will be necessary to determine the cause and correct it. If the differential fluid is not on your finger, then the fluid level is too low. Note: the reason for the low fluid level should be determined. If repairs are not completed immediately, additional differential fluid should be added by pumping it into the differential through the inspection hole. Differential lubricants: all differentials use high point gear sets, and a special lubricant is necessary because the gears both roll and slide between their meshed teeth. Gear lubes are specified by the American Petroleum Institute, known as API. Most differentials require 1. SAE80W90GL5, or 2. SAE75W90GL5, or 3. SAE80WGL5. Limited slip differentials, often abbreviated LSD, often use an additive that modifies the friction characteristics of the rear axle lubricant to prevent chattering while cornering. Refer to Figure 1730. Always ensure that the fill plug can be accessed and removed before draining the fluid from a manual transmission. Tech tip: check the fill plug before draining a transmission. Experienced technicians have learned that it is wise to check that the fill plug can be removed before draining the manual transmission or transfer case through the drain plug. If the fill plug cannot be removed, then the fluid should not be drained until the problem is resolved. Once the fluid has been drained, there is no option but to do whatever it takes to get the fill plug open. This process is often difficult and may result in having to replace the entire assembly. See Figure 1730. Manual transmission and transaxle lubricant check. Types of manual transmission fluid: manual transmission / transaxles may use any one of the following lubricants. Gear lube, usually SAE80W-90. Automatic transmission fluid or ATF. Engine oil, usually SAE5W-30. Manual transmission fluid, sometimes called synchromesh transmission fluid, or SDF. This type of lubricant is similar to ATF, with special additives to ease shifting, especially when cold. Procedure for checking: to check manual transmission / transaxles lubricant, perform the following. Hoist the vehicle safely. Locate the transmission and transaxle inspection or fill plug. Consult the factory service manual for the proper plug to remove, to check the fluid level. If the fluid drips out of the hole, then the level is correct. If the fluid runs out of the hole, the level is too full. Allow it to flow out until it stops. The correct level of fluid is at the bottom of the inspection hole. If low, first determine the correct fluid to use and then fill until the fluid level is at the bottom of the inspection hole or until the fluid runs out of the inspection hole. Refer to Figure 1731. A broken coil spring was found during an under-vehicle inspection. The owner was not aware of a problem and it did not make any noise, but the vehicle stability was affected. Under vehicle inspection. Visual checks, other items underneath the vehicle that may need checking or lubricating include shock absorbers and springs. See Figure 1731. Transmission and transaxle shift linkage, check the service manual for the correct lubricant to use. Exhaust system, including all pipes and hangers. See Figure 1732. Brake lines for evidence of damage or a leakage. Shock absorbers for leakage or damaged mounts. Steering linkage for obvious looseness, or damaged or missing parts. Parking brake cable guides. Diesel exhaust fluid. Most diesel engines built after 2007 require that the diesel exhaust fluid known as DEF be refilled on a regular basis, usually at each oil change. Diesel exhaust fluid or DEF is a mixture of 32.5% laboratory grade urea and 67.5% deionized water and is used to reduce NOx exhaust emissions. Most diesel vehicles are equipped with a DEF reservoir large enough to last until the next scheduled oil change, making the service convenient for the vehicle owner. See Figure 1733. Refer to Figure 1732. This corroded muffler was found during a visual inspection, but was not detected by the driver because it was relatively quiet. Refer to Figure 1733. Diesel exhaust fluid or DEF is available in consumer-friendly containers or in bulk. Caution: do not lubricate plastic-coated parking brake cables. The lubricant can destroy the plastic coating. Review questions. Question 1. Why should brake fluid not be filled above the full or max level as indicated on the master cylinder reservoir? Question 2. Why should brake fluid be kept in an airtight container? Question 3. How do you check differential fluid? Question 4. What are four lubricants that a manual transmission and transaxle may require, depending on exact year, make, and model of the vehicle? Question 5. How often does diesel exhaust fluid or DEF need to be refilled? Chapter Quiz. Question 1. Preventative maintenance includes all of these except A. Tire balancing. B. Oil and filter change. C. Check tire pressure. D. Air filter replacement. Question 2. When should the engine oil be replaced? A. According to the vehicle manufacturer's recommended interval based on time and mileage, whichever occurs first. B. Every 3 months, regardless of miles. C. Every 3,000 miles, regardless of time. D. All of the above. Question 3. Which of these should be used when preparing a vehicle for service? A. A windshield cover. B. A steering wheel cover. C. Eye protection. D. Elbow protection pads. Question 4. Most vehicle manufacturers specify brake fluid that meets what specification? A. DOT-2. B. DOT-4. C. DOT-3. D. DOT-5. Question 5. Which of these conditions must be met before checking the fluid level in an automatic transmission? A. The vehicle should be parked on an inclined surface. B. The transmission should be in the highest gear. C. The vehicle should be driven several miles before the level is checked. D. The transmission fluid should have cooled after being used. Question 6. Coolant can be checked using A. Boiling and freezing points using a refractometer and hydrometer. B. Visual inspection. C. Test strips. D. All of the above. Question 7. Accessory drive belt tension is determined by A. Marks on the tensioner. B. Torque required to rotate the tensioner using a beam-type torque wrench. C. Belt tension using a belt tension gauge. D. Any of the above depending on the specified procedure as found in service information. Question 8. Using the modified X-tire rotation method on a front-wheel drive vehicle would place the right front tire on the A. Left front. B. Left rear. C. Right rear. D. Right front. Question 9. Most vehicle manufacturers specify a lug nut, or wheel nut, tightening torque specification of about A. 80 to 100 foot-pounds. B. 100 to 125 foot-pounds. C. 125 to 150 foot-pounds. D. 150 to 175 foot-pounds. Question 10. A service technician removed the inspection and fill plug from the differential of a rear-wheel drive vehicle and gear loop started to flow out. Technician A says, to quickly replace the plug to prevent any more loss of gear loop. Technician B says, to catch the fluid and allow the fluid to continue to drain. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. End of chapter 17.